Welcome to the Idea Talks, where we discuss big ideas. Idea Talks is a monthly conversation with Josh Tice and other leaders on big ideas for life, leadership, and ministry. For more information on this podcast and others, visit joshtice.com.
Are you getting fired up and fueled up? There are a lot of conferences for pastors that give inspiration and motivation to fire you up about doing ministry. But as I travel around the country and talk with pastors, I find many pastors are motivated to their calling. What they are wanting is practical ideas to fuel that calling. What if there was a conference that could get you fired up and fueled up? I want to invite you to Idea Day, a day designed by pastors for pastors with one purpose, ideas. Pastor Josh Tice and his team at Southern Hills Baptist Church have created an experience that feels more like a conversation than a conference. At Idea Day, you will be invited to learn ideas from other pastors while contributing ideas that have worked well for your church. You will get and give practical ideas about leadership, financing for your church, taking the next step in church growth, even ideas for facilitating small groups that are effective. Don't miss this incredible day that will fire you up and fuel your ministry tank.
Hey, welcome to this edition of the Idea Talks. This is Drew, followed here by
Josh. Is me, Josh Tice. What's going on?
What I love about the Idea Talks is that, you know, you and I get to sit down so often in just this one-on-one intimate setting.
Not so much right now.
And, you know, we have some more people in the room with us tonight.
Yeah, there's 40 people here. No, that's not true.
That would be a nightmare to edit, by the way.
Yeah, you're not
kidding.
If we
were to a 40-person pod.
We have two friends with us today.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're talking about the pastor and mental health. The pastor's mental health, yes. If you're a layman in the church, you say, why would he have mental health issues? You. Because you're in the church. That's
why I'm here, to present the perspective of the layman's mental health.
But also, really, this is something that affects a good portion of our society. In our societies, our cultures, our churches, and pastors are not above these issues of depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, genuine chemical imbalance. All of these things can touch the pastoral heart as well as the pastoral home. And so we thought, you know, why don't we do an episode on this while we have some friends in town? And the first one we'd like to introduce to you is Pastor Aaron Flanagan.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Good.
This is my first Idea Talks podcast thing. So
welcome.
Feeling special.
Hey, man, you were way special way before this.
Well, I appreciate that. But
so tell us about your connection with Idea Network and what you do. Where do you serve?
Well, I've been a part of the Idea Day events and network, I guess, from the beginning. So four or 5 years, however long you guys have been doing that. Yeah. So, and then I serve at Oasis Baptist Church here in Henderson, Nevada, just outside of Vegas. And I've been on staff there for 13 years, and I've been the lead pastor for the last six.
Fantastic, so, man. We're really glad that you could join us for this podcast. We've been friends for years. In fact, we traveled to Israel together.
We did.
Boom.
We did.
Loved it, man.
Yes, it was a good trip.
Yeah, no kidding. We really had a great time. And going back...
Yeah.
First time we went on a joint rabbi and pastor's tour.
Yes.
With Kufi.
We did.
That was a lot of fun.
It was far cheaper that time than anything else that we'll have ever experienced it.
They took us for free. It was pretty amazing. So we're glad to have you on the podcast. We're going to talk about this going forward. But the second guest that we have here today is Dr. Robert Bax. We're really glad to have you here.
Good to be here, Josh.
Hey, now your accent gives you away for those who don't know
you. It does.
Describe who you are, where you're from, and what you do.
Well, it depends on how I throw my accent. If I speak real Oka, you can pretty well pick it up, mate, where I'm from.
There it is. That's even better.
You can pick it up.
Yeah.
But obviously from Australia, and just spending a bit of time over here a couple of weeks speaking on the topic of mental health.
Now, I think this
And can you prove for the audience first? Well, let's answer this question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did Pastor really take you to Outback Steakhouse?
He did.
Because if that's true,
I am so ashamed. Mate, that's the fair dinkum truth. He took me to Outback Steakhouse, but I was ripped off there because I come from the town of Rockhampton.
Okay.
So it used to be on the Outback Steakhouse menu, the Rockhampton ribeye.
All right.
So as I've opened the menu thinking I need a touch from home, it wasn't there. They've ripped off the word Rockhampton.
Do you know how many people, Drew, I had yell at me in church today?
They were
there's like a billion amazing restaurants. And you took them to the Outback? You are the cheapest? They were so embarrassed as a church. They were really upset with me. Really, Robert.
What I think is funny is some of the names on there because, you know, it talks about the Bloomin' Onion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, an Aussie really wouldn't say blooming, because it's sort of equivalent to a bit of a cuss word.
Really? Okay.
All right. Well,
no kidding.
Oh, that's great.
Wow.
Well, you would say it this way. You would say, "Oh, you're blooming idiot," but it would be. Yeah.
Right, harsher.
A soft sort of a way.
Oh, okay, well, good. Well, I'm glad to know I could take you to a place that would curse at you. So you were speaking in our church recently, and our church absolutely loved having you. You spoke specifically on mental health. You've also written several wonderful books. One is Worship Wars, which I think we covered in episode 6 of the Idea Talk. So if you haven't heard that, I encourage you as a listener to go back and listen to that episode. It's called Worship Wars. Wonderful book all about music. But Robert, your focus has not just been music as of late. It's really been about mental health. Describe the books that you have produced and the ones that you're in the middle of writing.
Well, Josh, I think the whole issue of the books went back several years, well before I even wrote Worship Wars. Because of the fact that my wife has lived with a mental illness now for, you know, well over 25 years,
yeah,
it's been part of our life. And so for the first 10 or 15 years or so, we just sort of traveled along, worked out what we were doing, seeking advice, guidance, seeking God's help on things. About 10 years ago, we said, you know, we really think we should try to help others. It took us a bit of a process of time because of Jenny's illness up and down, and we just took our time. We both co-authored the first book on Poles Apart. It became a passion of ours that we really felt like this is something people need to hear about and to give it a voice.
Yeah.
Because people just don't talk about it. And they, sadly, in the Christian world, there are sometimes people just demonize it, deny it. You know, you just have faith. You've got a faith issue rather than a real actual mental issue that's happening there.
Yeah, well, you know, as a pastor, I was specifically falling into the trap of this years and years ago. I remember getting up in our church service and I was preaching about trusting God. And I specifically said from our church pulpit, Drew, I don't know if you were here at this point, but I said from our church pulpit, I said, some of you out there, all you're doing is taking pills to overcome all your anxiety, your frustration. And I named a bunch of mental health issues I had never studied. And I said specifically, I remember clearly saying, what you need to do is go home, throw out your pills, and start trusting Jesus.
Well, that's where people come up with that little tagline, you know, what you really need is the goss pill. That's what you need.
Oh, that's sick.
That's it.
That is terrible.
It's a
throw away your pills, what you need the goss pill. Well, that's thank it. God I had never heard that phrase, because I would have used it.
As I
was saying that, it was a gracious, beautiful, kind deacon in our church actually who came up to me after the service and very humbly, not in an arrogant way. He's a doctor, right? He's a medical professional, Brandon Snook, missionary now to Togo, West Africa. And he pulled me aside. He said, Pastor, can I talk with you over coffee about the message? And I said, oh, sure. I became very defensive, as pastors, prideful young pastors tend to be. And he said, how much study have you done on mental health and the medical profession? I said, well, nothing. And he
what
said,
a tactful way to bring that up too, yeah. Right? Like, he didn't come in guns blazing. He was like, hey, like, I'd love to ask you a couple questions, you know?
And it was so sweet because I think he knew my heart, but at the same time, he also knew I was an idiot. And he said to me, Pastor, don't you think it would be unwise to encourage people to take themselves off of medication that you admittedly have no concept of how it works?
Yeah.
And maybe you allow the doctors to be doctors and you be the pastor. And man, that changed me. And the next thing that took place in my understanding of mental health, so at that point I just shut up and I didn't talk about anything for about 5 or 6 years.
And I think that's where a lot of people are too.
Yeah.
Because there is an ignorance of it. And like I was saying, I was at your church, Aaron, talking about this, that those things that we don't understand, we often fear.
Yeah.
And then at times we'll either aggressively say something stupid and out of ignorance, or we just shut up about it and we go silent. And I think in the issue of mental health, especially amongst pastors, it's an area where we need to deal with it. When you got 20% of the population struggling with mental illness, they're in our churches.
Yeah, it is. The next aspect that I finally understood was when I picked up your book, Poles Apart, you actually said, hey Josh, we're friends. I want you to read this book. It's about the good Paul. And I read it, and I just, for the first time, I started speaking about mental health again, but now from at least a little bit of an educated perspective. Fascinating, wonderful book. Aaron, what has been your interaction with this concept of mental health within the local church and then speaking to the concepts as a pastor? Have you dealt with that at all?
I've not spoken to it in a large regard. I think personally, in dealing with teenagers or families or different things. I think one of the hardest things that I have faced is it's the thought of not that pills are bad so much, but that we over-medicate every kid. Every kid has ADHD and we need to give them pills, and then they become on the other side of that. And then where is that balance as a pastor, as a spiritual guide? Do we say, you know, throw away your pills because they're all bad? Or, you know, we don't know the medical side of it. So where do we stop and say there is a line, but then at the same time, let's have the conversation.
Yeah. What would you say to that, Robert?
Look, I think anything dealing with mental illness, you can't just take one aspect of a treatment. There has to be a holistic approach when you deal with mental illness, because there are sometimes just purely physical things that are attributing to a person's mental state. It is at times, the mental capacities. You have to throw in the fact that in society today, there's a lot of drug-induced psychosis issues.
Yes.
That have damaged aspect of people's, you know, physiology.
Yeah.
So that has to be brought into account, and then you cannot discount the spiritual aspect.
Mm.
It's a holistic approach. You can't just target one. And I think you're right, Aaron. Sometimes there has been a over-abuse of medication, but I don't, and I'm only speaking from my experience and the people we counsel, it's more that it's not so much the over-abuse of it as it becomes a person's crutch to depend upon it, rather than thinking it's my only answer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I feel we need to be able to say it's part of the answer. Yeah. And it may be helpful in certain areas, but there is a bigger answer for you.
There's a spiritual aspect as well. There's a spiritual component, not just a physiological component.
I think even you said it at church tonight with us at Oasis was we can't make an excuse, though, to sin.
Yeah.
So the mental illness or the thing that we battle can't be the excuse to do the wrong thing.
Look, for sure. Look, I was a lawyer before I was a pastor, and there are times where definitely there are criminal issues that take place where they'll say there was a diminished responsibility because of a mental capacity. We fully understand that, that there is at times a diminished responsibility. But that doesn't mean that a person who's struggling with depression or anxiety or bipolar can turn around and say, well, you know what? I think I have an exemption from certain aspects of God's word because I struggle with bipolar. You know, I'm okay to explode and get angry at a person because, you know, after all, I get depressed. We can't use that as an excuse for sin.
Right.
That's where we need to rely upon God and His grace and the Holy Spirit to help us.
I love it.
I thought the way you said it this morning, you know, then using the story of Elijah to kind of paint a picture of the recipe for depression was fantastic. And you know, was he
fatigued? Be depressed in 5 easy steps.
Yeah. That was brilliant. He begins with fatigue.
Yeah.
Man, just get tired. Just wear yourself out and you will be on the road to depression. And then you talked about, what were the other?
Let fears become your fears. Consume you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get that worry, concern going over that issue and then deal with, you know, flee. Get away from people. Mm. Isolate yourself. Wall up. Like Elijah leaves his servant there. It was his mate. And just took off and got to get by myself, and I've got to just be alone. I've got to be away from people until the point where he completely loses focus.
Yes.
And it's just a negative, constant dwelling on issues to the final point where he forgets the faithfulness of God.
Mm.
Here's a guy who was fed by the ravens. I mean, seriously, the protection and provision of God, it's gone from his mind.
It is a beautiful concept because we do. We read, as students of the Word, we read that passage where he says, oh, I'm alone. I wish you would just take my own life. And we don't see what brought him to that moment. We see him as discouraged. We see him as depressed. We see him entering the stage of depression. But to map that back and say, here are the things that got him there. He was fatigued. He fled away from all of his friends. He was completely alone. And all these things that you brought. And maybe you're right there. Maybe you're listening to this podcast and you're driving down your car and you're going from one hospital visit to another. Or maybe you're sitting in your office and you're thinking, I have nobody. I have nobody who cares about me. I'm getting to the point where I'm forgetting God's faithfulness. Listen, I just want to bluntly say this and then we'll move forward. You are not alone. You have people, and I mean this literally, we're a small group of people, but you can email me at pastor@southernhillslv.com. You can email Aaron and over at Oasis. What's your email address?
aaron@oasislv.church.
Email us. Let us know. Look, we would love to help you. You don't have to be alone in the midst of this struggle. But it is something that doesn't just affect members.
And I think one thing is that some people don't like to reach out for help because if they have, sometimes they've been bitten in the past or rejected or made to feel ashamed.
Yeah.
And I love how in that whole issue of Elijah, when that angel does come down, that representative from God, you never hear anything in his speaking to Elijah that was a rebuke, that made him feel ashamed, that was a lecture, that was an attack upon his faith.
Right.
The first thing he said, Elijah, you need some rest and some food, mate. You need to deal with something physically in your life. And I think sometimes people just get shunned from the very beginning.
Yes.
And then they say, I'm not going to talk to anyone about this. And that's why as pastors, we need to have that open door ready and let people know that, listen, this is okay.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether you guys have here in America, you have the Are You Okay Day?
No.
It's, Are You Okay Day? And it's set upside purely for mental health people. And really, it's the day where you should ask someone, are you okay? And it's okay not to be okay.
Yes.
And that's a really key point.
Yeah. I think it's something that, like you said, not only the Christians in our pews need to know, but the pastors in our pulpits need to understand. And that's where this conversation is leading. We as pastors are humans. We have struggled. It's not just the Robin Williams in Hollywood. It's not just the political leaders like Winston Churchill in places of political power. It is the pastors in pulpits. All of us know of Spurgeon and the bouts of discouragement and depression he went through. Well, if the Prince of Preachers can go through that kind of moment of discouragement, so can we. And so the question is, can we have an open dialogue about discouragement and depression in the pulpit and what can be done about it? So let's have that discussion.
I really do think one of the things that pastors can do to help remove the stigmatization of mental illness is talk about it.
Yeah.
When they hear a pastor get up and actually mention this fact of depression, I'm going to speak on this, but not in a condescending way, but in a helpful way.
Yes.
In an acknowledging way that this happens in life. You can almost hear an audible, I'm so glad someone sees this. It helps remove that. And I think in announcements, in preaching, to constantly flavor different thoughts on mental health.
You know, it's a good point. And I did not speak on this issue specifically. I had you come and preach on it. But today, I've received more text messages and Facebook messages than I have received in any Sunday that I can remember in 15 years of people saying, thank you, thank you, thank you for having him come to our church and speak on this issue. Pastor, I didn't want to tell you, but I'm bipolar. I didn't want you to tell you, but I struggle with hyperanxiety. I didn't want to tell you, but I've been depressed. Well, you know, we always hear about the suicide attempts, and then you have to go down to those places and visit people, but you don't know it until that point. And so for us, the opening of the conversation was just to have somebody come and speak on the subject and to say, hey, it's out there and let's talk about it.
I think two of the most powerful things you said today, you said a lot about society thinking it's okay if somebody is going to have, diabetic coma or whatever, given a pill for that or a heart attack or what have you. But if somebody has mental illness, we say we pray for them. And the other, one of the most powerful things you said was the best thing we pastors can do in the church is to make it a safe place to talk about. I think that's really the goal of the conversation. Yeah. Open up the door, remove the stigma. And so who knows what you're going to get from 2 or 3 months from now from church members.
Or even
because
you.
Because we've opened up the door.
Or even you in your small group, right? Yeah. So all of a sudden, here's somebody in their small group, and they say, hey, pray for me. My pancreas isn't working correctly. I need insulin. Is the insulin for the pancreas? I have no clue. But the point is, I need chemical help because my organs, I need Tylenol or I need aspirin because my heart is not pumping appropriately. Well, I need this chemical because I have a mental health issue. Suddenly, you go from, oh, that's a normal prayer request in a small group to, whoa, what's wrong with you? And the church has to be on the front line to say, no. Why is it appropriate to bring up one health issue of your heart, but not the other health issue of your brain?
Yeah, it's like this. I know if there was someone in your church who, for example, say they were in hospital for some cancer treatment, and it was a mother in hospital and they got little kids at home, it would not be out of the norm for church members to say, hey, let's take some meals around to that family and let's go around and cut that person's grass or let's let's maybe go and pick up some medication at the chemist or the pharmacy for that person.
That's great.
But then all of a sudden that person says, look, I'm in bed. I'm out to it because I'm in a bout of deep depression.
And what do we think? Oh, you're being lazy.
Yeah. Well, no. Get up and cook a meal. Why aren't we showing some care for that person?
Yes.
They're things we can practically do.
That's a great
but
point.
It's also about just the awareness of it. It's okay for people to have this.
Yeah.
It's a part of life. It was through the scriptures, and we can be the body of Christ to reach out and help.
I'm curious if you have suggestions for because I think with battle we're facing is the flippancy of words. So like people can say, oh, I'm just depressed or I have anxiety, right? And they don't. Maybe they're just stressed out at work or what have
That's
you,
very
right?
Very interesting
versus
point.
People who are legitimately have a battle
clinically
depression.
Depressed, like, so or whatever it might be.
How can we do our best to kind of sift through that or really try to and not be like a detective at the exact same time either? You know, like, well, what do you mean like you're surely depressed? Like, give me like the litany of it.
Well, that's the thing. Because there is no there's no scientific test.
Yeah.
And there is a broad spectrum of all of these things. Because a person can say, I'm just really depressed at the moment. They may simply just be discouraged.
Yeah.
In the book that I'm writing at the moment on battling and beating the blues, on, again, dealing with the biblical advice on overcoming depression, I have a whole chapter in that to help people distinguish moments of discouragement versus issues of depression.
Mm.
Because they're going to be dealt with differently,
mm-hmm.
and how we tackle that. If you are discouraged, you need an injection of courage. If you are depressed, you need an injection of hope.
Yeah,
different aspects that we need, and there may be other things to deal with the depressive state to help you pull you out of a depression.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
If you think about a depression, it's a pressure down. You need to be lifted out of this, and to help through it. How you distinguish it? Because I realize some people do. And that's sometimes people's personality, sometimes it's attention-seeking, but not always.
Yeah.
I think any time a person mentions a mental health state, we can't just dismiss it as a whimsical statement because it may very well be they don't even know how to express it and they've just grabbed hold of a word they've heard and there's something there. It's like when somebody mentions suicide, we understand a lot of times it is a cry for help.
Mm.
They're not intending to act it out, but they've mentioned the word. There's a thought of self-harm that has to be taken seriously, and because we don't know where that really is coming from, and it's time-consuming.
I think on the pastor side of it, I think that last statement is one of the hardest parts. It is time-consuming, and then with that, you know, where how serious do you take the statement of I'm depressed or I'm discouraged because so many people flippantly make it. And then we're like, well, I've talked to you 25 times in the last 6 months and it's going nowhere. And so it becomes time, but dealing with people, that's one of the,
right. If you have
the good and the bad of our calling.
In Thessalonians, he talks about supporting the weak.
Yeah.
And then he talks about comforting the feeble minded.
Yes.
There are people who are feeble. You look at an old person who's feeble on their legs. You think, oh, that person needs support. They need some, they're feeble.
Yeah.
Well, that happens in people's minds. And he tells us our responsibility is to do that. But he closes that verse by this, be patient with all men.
Hmm.
So it is part of the Christian life. And as pastors, it's what he's called us to do, to be patient with people. And it is time consuming.
Hmm.
And admittedly, at times, when time pressure is on us, it can become frustrating. And that's where we have to help train other people to deal with this and to be counselors and be supporters and help in those different areas.
Well, as pastors, we're constantly coming across those who really are discouraged, depression, and the feeble-minded. And thank God we as pastors ourselves never deal with discouragement, depression, or feeble-mindedness. So let's transition to that concept of what do we do? Well, as pastors when we ourselves are going through this, or maybe it's not myself that's going into depression. Maybe it's
well, Josh,
a
need
family.
To pray about it.
Yeah, pray about it. And how many times is that what we say to each other? Just pray about it. I mean, we all know of the story of Pastor Rick Warren and his dear son, and I say this with utmost respect and love. I admire so much the ministry. What a terrible moment. What a terrible moment for that family as a pastor having to watch his son for decades, as the testimony has stated, battled with mental illness to the point that he takes his own life. I was at a pastor's conference in Saddleback probably about I forget, 7-8 months after that had taken place. And Rick wasn't preaching or teaching in the large setting, but there was a small setting off to the side. And he was only meeting with pastors who were between the ages of, I think, 23 and 31 or something, and I fit that bracket. And I remember sitting there, it was only about 200 of us, and he sat there. First thing he said was, "You'll notice that I'm about 50 pounds heavier than you've ever seen me." That is the first thing he said. Mm. He said, I wonder why I've eaten so much lately. And it broke the, everybody laughed, you know. And then he spent probably about the next two and a half hours telling us what it was like for him to deal with his son throughout this entire experience and to deal with his wife afterward and himself and the strength of Christ in the midst of it, but just the reality and the honesty and the openness of what it was like to battle mental health in their home.
Josh, I was a couple of years back there, I was coming out to speak out here, and I saw, just by chance as it happened, a advertisement come up for Rick Warren's mental health in the church seminar.
Yeah.
And I spoke to our deacons. I said, "Listen, I think I'm going to go a week early and go to this." I went to that mental health seminar, sat there and listened to him talk about his son and his wife talk about it. But then the different professionals came up and spoke on different topics. And the leading, the at that point in time, the head of the Psychiatric Association of America, a Christian man, spoke about a young boy who struggled with schizophrenia and struggled with these issues. And if I got the story correct, and it was him.
Mm.
And I listened to then different people speak on these topics. It was just a riveting moment for openness amongst Christians and leaders to speak about the issue of mental health.
I think that's the beginning. We've talked about the power of vulnerability on this podcast. And one of the things that was brought up, you can go back and listen to the episode, was the incredible power it was when I came to our church and talked about the time I was molested as a child. I cannot, and that was the first time I'd ever talked about it openly, how much fear there was in going into the pulpit that day, how much time I had Heather praying over me, how nerve-wracking that would be. How many, in my mind, and from perspective of somebody who's never gone through that, you might be thinking, well, what is there to be afraid of? Well, the judgment of men, what will they say? How many people will grab their children and pull them away from the pastor? Mm-hmm. I knew those things. That's a terrible, what do you do? Are you really going to? And I thought, no, for the sake of, and when I shared that, emails after emails, weeks after weeks, months after months, I had teenagers, adults come to me and say, "Nobody knows, but let me share what I've been struggling with." Vulnerability and openness about the journey God has brought you through and the grace you've seen in the midst of it leads others to be open and vulnerable about their own journey.
Yeah, there was a quote, I'm not sure who actually said it. It might have been Sheila Walsh, and that's where Jenny and I read that one time. And we've used that quote, where it says, "My brokenness is a far better bridge to people than my pretend wholeness ever was." And I think when people see that vulnerability to say, you know what, this person is open about this, it just connects to and resonates with the broader population.
So what we're saying is the very first step for pastors is if you're struggling or if you and your family have gone through these issues and you're through them, you're comfortable enough to share about the family or you're in them, speak on these things. Write on these things. Be open with your church and open with your pastoral community of friends. This could be a first step.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Well, there has to be the openness, and I think a part of it on the pastoral side as well, I mean, it's just people in general, is we have to look a specific way. They have to think that we've got it all together.
We have to be on.
Yeah, and so if we come across and say, well, I've struggled in this, this, and this, then somebody else is going to look at me and think I'm less of. But the reality is, that's part of the whole Christian walk of being humble, of bowing before God, of giving it over and all of this. But then we have to do that for one another. I have to be able to say, hey, Josh, I'm struggling in this. Robert, I'm struggling in this, or I'm battling with this. But in our pride, we won't go there because we're not willing to be vulnerable to somebody else or show the weakness, if you will.
And it's such a lie of the devil, because the moment you do open up, vulnerability. It's
freedom.
There's not only, there's freedom. And then there's a sense of empowerment. And the people around you, it does not push them from you. Yeah. It actually draws them closer to you. Now, we won't get into specifics, obviously, but Aaron and I meet on a regular basis. And we're very open as pastors in town with each other about our own personal issues and struggles and things that we're going through. Yeah. That has drawn us closer to each other, not further away.
Yeah.
But even as pastors, sometimes we think, man, should I say that? I mean, won't that, what does that put me in a bad situation? I mean, couldn't they use that against me? All of those things come to mind.
And the reality is there's somebody that's going to take it and use it against you.
That's true.
But I can't, there has to be the vulnerability to open. You know, it's been several months. I shared with our church, you know, how I took our church wasn't necessarily the best circumstance, but I shared several months ago that I have led out of insecurity and out of fear and, you know, all of those different things. And it was eye-opening, and it was hard for me to come and share that with our church and kind of say, hey, I'm sorry, but this is where we are, and God is working, and I feel stronger or whatever it is, and I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
And I apologize for leading in that way.
Yeah.
But just like what you said with what you had shared with your church, man, that was the most exciting and scariest sermon or opportunity to speak, because I was telling people, I've not necessarily been what you thought I am. And so that's, you know.
When you get to the point, this is what I've experienced. When you get to the point where you realize you don't have to be the hero for the church.
Yes.
That the church already has a hero.
Yep.
And you just have to be, hey, I'm just an under shepherd who by God's grace, being the chief of sinners, he happened to put as the pastor. Then Jesus receives more glory, and even more people are drawn to him as we lift him up. So I completely agree. So one thing we would say, we've kind of agreed on, hey, let's talk about it more. What's something else? What's something else that pastor might be able to do, or a minister, somebody's listening to this, might be able to do that kind of helps those in ministry leadership deal with these mental health issues?
I think the other issue is when you sense anything in your life that is becoming a down moment, whether it be anxiety building, whether it be depression issues, whether you sense there isn't, you're hitting a wall or whatever it may be, is don't wait. Don't wait and think, oh, this will pass. Seek some help straight up.
Yes.
Don't think, oh, I can get through this, I'll push through it, because you may very well be creating more damage.
Yeah.
And you may be able to eliminate something far worse if you actually tackle something early.
Yeah.
And don't let the pride get in to step up and say, listen, I'm going to go check with my doc. Have an open conversation with him or her and say, this is what's going on in my life.
Yes.
And sometimes we feel you have to have that image, Aaron. Well, I better make sure I have a good image and project it to these people. We're all human.
Yeah.
And yes, we have responsibilities, but that doesn't negate the fact that you're still human.
Yes.
And to be able to, I think it also teaches this, to reach out for help is a model to the people we're leading.
Yes.
That we're asking them and encouraging them, reach out for help, yet we won't do it ourselves.
Yeah.
So I think to reach out early.
Now, you know, that's a really good point. I think, so there's many ways, things that you've insinuated. Number one is if you can reach out to a doctor, like we're talking about a medical professional. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can have a friend, but there are other aspects. There's not just a friend in ministry. There might be a mentor in ministry, and there might be a physician, an actual medical professional that you need to discuss these things with. And if at all possible, you find somebody that maybe is already known by you, a friend who is a doctor, a physician, whatever, but whatever you do, find somebody you can trust that knows what they're talking about, and reach out for help soon rather than later.
Absolutely. I was sitting there in a conference with another friend of mine, a pastoral friend. He was due to speak. And I could sense our drive to that conference. He wasn't himself. We got to the conference, and he, out of character, just said, I can't do this. He said, you're going to have to take my spot. And he just hit a panic moment. I said, sure. And I jumped up and spoke on the topic he was assigned. We later went back. Within a month, he had gone to the doctor. I suggested, go get some help. He went to the doctor, and here's the issue. Sleep apnea. He had a sleep apnea machine. All of a sudden, he's getting good sleep. Everything was fine. Back to solid health. And imagine if he didn't go get tested. He was in a decline for a breakdown.
Or if you pulled him aside and said, go up and preach, and afterward I'll pray for you, and then you put your hands on him, oh God, deliver him from the spirit of fear.
So there's sometimes there's a physical issue in your life that is contributing to things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not a sin to go get help.
Yeah.
It's wise.
So there's the aspect of number one, talking about it. Number two, seeking help, whether that be through a friend, maybe a mentor, maybe a medical professional. And by the way, you might be sitting there, again, a lot of pastors, young pastors especially, you're 40 years old or below. By the way, I used to say young pastor 30 and below. Then I used to say young pastor 35 and below. Now I say young pastor 40 and below. But you're sitting there listening and saying, I don't have a mentor to go after. Now, this is why we're very excited about very soon. By the time this releases, we may have already launched what we're calling Idea Mentoring. Mm. And this is an opportunity that the Idea Network will present opportunities for you to seek out a mentor and contact them for mentorship. What I've been coming across is this truth. There are a lot of Pauls out there looking for Timothys. And there are a lot of Timothys out there looking for Pauls. And Idea Network is stepping forward saying, hey, we're going to help connect you people. Yeah. We want you guys to be there for one another. And there are people like that. So get involved with Idea Network, and I think you can help that. So one thing is talk about it. Number two, seek help. What's a third thing that we would say, all right, pastors, ministry leaders, this is what you need to do. As pastors who care about others, as a leader within a local church, as a deacon who cares about pastors out there, what's that third thing they can do?
Educate yourself. Educate yourself on topics specifically dealing with mental health, whether it be blog sites, whether it be resources you can read, so you have a little bit more understanding of issues that are taking place. Listen, we educate ourselves on all areas of theology, practical ministry strategies. This is a key issue that can help ourselves to identify, hang on, this is happening in my life right now. And it can also help us identify things in other people's lives. Education and self-education is helpful. You may not be able to find a person, but you can find a resource.
Do you have like top three that you would suggest that you've used or that you've done in the past?
Look, I think in Australia, we have Beyond Blue. There are some tremendous websites that are out there. I'm not sure what's in America. I think there's a Black Dog site or something like that. It's
Wikipedia. No, I'm just
Wikipedia.
Kidding.
there are. In America, NAMI has some tremendous stuff, National American Health Mental Institution or Authority or something it's called. They have a lot of material. These are secular organizations just dealing with those topics. Sure. Then there is, I don't know of a whole range of Christian websites, but there are people who blog on the topic, and you can read up about these things. So get some materials, and there's not an abundance of Christian materials, but there are available.
Is there like two or three books you'd recommend besides yours?
Okay.
that you've got.
The Anxiety Cure by Dr. Hart is a tremendous book.
Okay.
He does that. That's a really good book that he writes on the issue of anxiety. A good friend of mine, Mark Tossell, wrote a book just on depression himself. He was a pastor for...
That was a very good book. I read that, yeah.
Yeah, Mark wrote a book on depression, and I think the book's called Hope is an Open Door or something like that. And it was his journey through that speaks on those topics from a Christian perspective.
James Dobson wrote Freedom from Depression.
Got it.
And really anything from Dobson or Focus on the Family in regards to mental health is
cool.
Is trustworthy, I would definitely say as well. But Robert's not here to pitch his own books. He just happened to be preaching in our church's Oasis in Southern Hills.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be part of this podcast. But really, you should go and order those books. You need to pick up both the book on anxiety, the book on Pulls Apart, which opened my eyes, and then the third book, which is coming out relatively soon, maybe by the time this podcast releases, and that's the book on depression, which is entitled...
Battling and Beating the Blues.
Battling and Beating the Blues. That's a great place to start.
Neil Anderson writes a whole... He writes a lot of things just on freedom issues.
Okay.
And he does a lot of stuff on addiction.
Got it.
But he tackles issues in his own life, especially where he had issues with mental health problems and speaks about things. And the principles on who you are in Christ is there some free... really freeing truths, because that's what a person needs to always realize, that this is who I am in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I might be struggling with anxiety, but that's not who I am.
Mm. Like letting the disorder or the problem not define you.
Correct.
Your identity in Christ.
One of the great quotes that you had on the screen today was, this issue is not, what was it?
And my illness is not my identity.
My illness is not my identity.
Yeah, and my chemistry is not my character.
Mm.
My identity is defined by my Creator. That's who I am. And when you hold on to that truth, otherwise you can say, you know what, my wife is not bipolar, she has bipolar.
Mm.
That's a key point to be able to, otherwise you live this whole, I'm bipolar, I'm bipolar, I'm bipolar. No, no, you're a Christian.
Yes.
You have bipolar disorder, but that's not who you are.
That's good.
I think each and every one of the things that have been mentioned thus far, thank you so much for sharing. I think each and every one of the things that have been mentioned so far has been extremely helpful, and it's just the beginning of the conversation. We want to hear from you. If you have questions, feel free to contact us specifically about this issue. We want to stand with you. Any questions that come in to us normally are free game for podcasts. We will not use these questions in regards to anxiety, depression, fear, even thoughts of suicide. We want to be there and stand with you in the midst of all of this here at Idea Network. And that is contact Pastor Aaron, contact myself, contact Robert Bax and Drew. And look, we want to be there for you regardless. I want to thank Aaron for being a part of this podcast, Dr. Bax, Drew. Any last thoughts before we close out? Aaron, from you?
I think it goes back, it's been said, and I think for me, the greatest thing that has been is, one, just the openness that we talked about, and just truly having a vulnerable friend to be able to go to. So Josh is one of those, you know, a lot of times my wife will just say, hey, you know, you don't seem right today, or what's going on with this or whatever. And so just having those open doors and, you know, knowing that there's somebody. And so for me, with all that we've talked about, one of the biggest things for me is some of those, you know, truly just being able to text or pick up the phone and call, or, you know, just having that, you know, and it may not be an hour long conversation. It's just getting it out there. And it was freeing to just put it out there.
Yeah. For me, I'll say I've had that with my dad. My dad is somebody I just this last week, no, a week and a half ago, I called him and he was out of town. I left him a message. I said, I need to talk to you specifically because I'm dealing with bitterness in my heart towards someone and I've got to talk to somebody that will tell me some truth. And he called me back probably within an hour and said, all right, tell me what's going on. And I just, I said, blah, blah, blah. I just poured it out on him. And he said, okay, okay. And then he just walked me through and really helped. And there's just some real power in a friend, sometimes power in a mentor to help in that way. Dr. Bax, final words?
My final words would be what David said when he was in his depressed state and he's talking to himself in Psalm 42 and he's asking his soul, why am I in such a terrible state, soul? And then he answers the question to himself and he says, hope in God.
Yeah.
Hope in God. I think one of the key points in any person working through mental issues, whether it be a disorder, a disease, any issue like that, is to continue to say, I must keep getting hope from God and hope in God. Hope is going to be the key.
That's awesome. Well, you said it this morning. Where depression really leads is hopelessness.
Yeah.
And we can have hope when our hope is found in Christ.
Give people hope. Absolutely.
It's good.
Give people hope. Well, Drew, this has been a good episode, man.
This has been.
Yeah, I'm really glad that we were able to record it. If there are any further questions from this, please feel free to email us. And remember, we're really thankful to have you listening each and every one of these episodes. We're looking forward to seeing you at the upcoming Idea Day West regional event, or the Idea Revitalized Conference coming up in April down in Florida, or Idea Day East coming up here in fall of 2020 out there in New Jersey, or one of the upcoming Idea Nights. Hey, Robert, if somebody wants to purchase these books, I know they can do it all sorts of places online. Where's the best place for the best price they can purchase your resources?
The best place to get it is probably directly through my website, which is robertbax.com. So that's Robert Bax, B-A-K-S-S.
Yeah, that's two S's, not two K's.
That's it.
Pastor Fred needs to remember that.
robertbax.com. And they can email me on that as well if they want extra copies, and we can work it from that. And we distribute it from the United States as well.
Awesome. Fantastic. All right.
Thanks so much for listening to today's Idea Talks. If you benefited from this podcast, we ask that you take a moment to show your support by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the podcast on iTunes. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you right here again at the Idea Talks podcast.